I'm grateful to be in front of you this morning. I've got a little bit of a shoulder injury, and it's hampering my enthusiasm, but I got one more arm. So I talk with my hands. I don't know where it comes from in my heritage, but you'll see me just like windmilling over to the side. It's just gravity. I do want to just add on to what Spencer said about our youth ministry. We are looking for people who are interested in helping us sort of develop that 40,000 foot view vision for how we are going to be loving on and making disciples of our youth. And some familiar church language around that would be like an advisory council or a steering committee. Just come and see me. We're not going to call it anything special, but we're going to be the adults that listen intently together for what God is saying for our youth and what God was doing in and through our youth, and then stewarding that. Now, that doesn't mean if that's not the only place that you can plug in. We're looking for people to help teach. We're looking for people to help organize activities. We're looking for people to come along and be mentored so that they can be mentors for our youth. And if that gets you excited in any way and you want to know more about it, come see me. My contact information is at the bottom of the backside of the bulletin. You can call me, you can text me, you can email me, you can flag me down in the street. I'd love to talk to you about it. And one of the reasons I want to talk to you about it is, and one of the reasons why this is so important to us is life is hard, and it's hard to navigate. It's hard to navigate sort of the world around us, even harder when we're just learning to navigate, and there's lots of bumps and bruises and hard things along the way. And there's this passage of scripture that we talk about around Christmas time from the prophet Isaiah. He talks about, for those that are living in darkness, a light has come, right? A light that bursts into the darkness and illuminates it. Of course, he's talking about Jesus coming into the world. Later on, Jesus, who calls himself the light of the world, talks about his disciples, those of us that follow him and pattern our lives after him. He talks about us. He gives us his authority. He gives us his power. His spirit comes and rests in us so that we too can be light in the world around us. And that is a privileged role that anyone who follows Jesus gets to take on and operate in, and it's important. It's important. We had a young man who graduated from our high school a couple of years ago. Be overwhelmed by the darkness this last week. And I don't know if any one of us could have done anything. That's not what I'm saying. It's not a fault thing, but I'm saying it's that important. This isn't a fairy tale thing that we talk about. This is real life in the kingdom, real life in the world today. And it's a privilege for us to walk alongside people. We never know where the darkness is in their lives. We never know what a sunburst of light from one of us can be like for them. And so I just want to pray for us right now. I want to pray for the family of Andrew and anyone who's affected by his passing. And I want to pray for comfort and peace and hope. And I also want to pray for us as a church family that we can take our privileged role as bearers of light in this community, that we can take it up in courage and confidence. Pray with me. Father, we know that this world isn't the way that it's supposed to be, the way you made it to be. We know that we are not how we're supposed to be. And we know there's a lot of brokenness and pain and darkness in each one of us. And God, we've, as a community, hear the news of one of ours, a child of yours that some of us were deeply connected to. And even if we're not deeply connected, it's a child of this community, and that affects us. So God, we weep with those who weep now. And we pray, God, that your comforting spirit would guide their heads, our heads and hearts as we grieve. Just in this moment of recognition of grief, God, that you would re-up our commitment to be light bearers in this community to our family, our friends, and our neighbors. God, that you would speak words of comfort and peace through us. God, that you would show your love for others through our friendship and our encouragement. God, may we see what you're doing, and may we hear what you are saying, and may we do and say those things too. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about the love story that we find in Scripture, and we talked about this powerful love that God has for us, each of us, that we would be called His sons and daughters, His kids. And our friend Chad, man, just knocked it out of the park describing that love and the power of that love. In one man's life, and in the life of a family, in the life of a community, and how he's in a season of experiencing that love and its effects in his life, not just for himself, but for the mission that God's called him to. And I want to build off that a little bit today, and I want to shake off the sadness right now so I can speak clearly. I want to build off that right now, and I want to allow for us some time this morning to encounter some scripture and to encounter some words that might help us. It might help us turn God's love for us into a power that can affect the world around us. And so I want to read a little bit to you as from Romans chapter 8, and I just want you to listen, and I want you to think about what the writer is saying, and the writer is very blunt in this section of text, and we may deal with that a little bit together. So Romans 8, verse 9, and I'm reading from the Message version of Scripture. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than Him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, they won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome Him, in whom He dwells, even though you still experience the limitation of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. The writer's blunt here when he says, for those who haven't welcomed Him in, there's no chance of understanding what he's saying and what he's about to say. And I want to touch on that just a second, and I want to say if that's you, if you're having a hard time understanding what all of this is about, if you're having a hard time understanding this concept of life in the kingdom of heaven right here and right now, you're not unusual, you're not alone. And you're not broken in some special and unique way that the rest of us aren't broken in. This isn't the easiest stuff in the world to access or to grab a hold of, because what we see with our eyes and what we experience in our bodies and in our relationships, it speaks against this reality of the kingdom. But But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, his spirit, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. And I want to say out loud right now before we go any further that there's hope in that statement. That even though we're affected by the brokenness in the world around us, we're affected by the darkness, not just in the world around us, but in ourselves, that because we have welcomed him in, because we have chosen a king, we have chosen the kingdom, that there is hope that we will experience life on God's terms. That even in the darkness, there's light. That even in the brokenness, there's comfort. And even in death, there's life. So if you are struggling, just continue to listen. The writer moves on and says, it stands to reason then, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, then he'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus and bring you alive to himself too. When God lives and breathes in you, as he surely does, and as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life, the one that isn't lived on God's terms. With his spirit living in you, your body will become alive as Christ's. And there's a whole mess of things we can draw on from that. But here's what I want us to settle into, and Shauna's going to come up in a second here and help us experience some more of this. I want us to feel, like in our bones, just feel that because of this great love that Father lavishes on us, because he calls us his sons and daughters, because his spirit, the same one that raises Jesus from the dead, lives inside of you and of me, then there's nothing that we should fear. There's no darkness that we can't step into. There's no brokenness that we can't find comfort in or be a comfort to. There's a power in the name of Jesus. We sang it. There's an army rising up. We're singing about ourselves. There's a life of adventure that is to be had because we can put our feet down in the security and the confidence of the love of God. I've asked Shauna to come and continue our exploration of Romans chapter 8. We're going to read a few more verses together and experience something that we've done in here before, a communal reading and reflection. And thank you for helping me today.
Good morning. So we're going to take some time to do a Lectio Divina, which means divine reading, so that we can not just intellectually engage with God's word, but experientially encounter the Holy Spirit who inspired the writers that wrote it. That Holy Spirit that is in us wants to illuminate something to each of us today. So we're going to carry on in Romans 8 where Bill has just been reading, and I'm going to read it through a few times. The first time will be just to get you familiar with the passage. The second time I'll be asking, and you can be asking internally, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate a word or a phrase that God's really wanting you to center in on. And then I'll read it again for us just to ask God, what is it about this? Why are you highlighting this? What is it about this that you're speaking to me? And I'll be leading you and prompting you through each time. And then at the end, I'll have a few questions for reflection. But before we do that, can I just pray over us? And then I invite you all just to stay with your eyes closed, and I will jump into reading the scripture for you. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here. And it's amazing for me to think about how you inspired the writer of Romans, and that you are present in me and in each person here. And so we ask that we would have just fresh ears to hear and eyes to see what you want to illuminate and speak to us today. We pray that these words of Scripture would come alive, and that any anxiety or discouragement or whatever is swirling on inside of us, that you would just breathe your peace over us so that we can focus on what you're saying right now. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. And so as I read it again, let's ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate one word or phrase to focus on. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. And so I invite you to continue to focus on that word or phrase that the Holy Spirit has highlighted and to begin to ask, what is it that you're wanting to show me or speak to me about this word or phrase? And I'll read one more time. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through if we go through the hard times with him. Then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. So we do ask God that you would continue to speak and that you would be rooting down these truths of who we are, our security in you, our inheritance in you, that we are your kids. And you're a generous father. And as you've been listening for that word or that phrase, there's an invitation that God has for us today. So as we continue to prayerfully reflect, I just invite you to ask God, what are you inviting me into? Is there an adventure he's inviting you into? Take time to listen. Maybe there's a picture he wants to show you, or it may be something different than what you would automatically go to. What is the invitation in this for me, Lord? Find that there's some fear surrounding that, or some anxiety or concerns, some hindrances. And I just invite you to confess that to the Lord. Whatever it is that has kept you from fully stepping in to this invitation, he wants to know. He knows. He invites you to share. There's something that you need in order to feel like you can step into this invitation fully. Ask your good father who loves to give good gifts. Ask him for what you need. I want to invite the rest of the worship team to come up. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you've been speaking and what you've been illuminating, for what you're inviting us into. And we pray that you would give us the courage to say yes to your invitations and to sense that we're not going alone, but that you're with us. You're walking with us and giving us what we need every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.